Good morning. It is a fantastic morning to be here worshiping God, praising Him, and remembering everything He's done for us and everything He expects of us. Before I start off here, I did want to thank everybody, especially as Kelsey and I were headed down to Memphis, not last week, but the week before, and I was having some medical tests and things done. I really appreciate everyone's thoughts and prayers, and it's really great. After we came back, everybody was asking how that went, and so it's just really good to be in a place where everybody is very concerned about you and wants to know that everything's going good with you. So I love this church family so much, and Kelsey and I have just been so happy to be here this summer so far. So I want to start off by looking at this image for a second. This is, of course, one of those Far Side comets. I think we all recognize these. We've probably seen this exact one before. And as I look at this, I kind of want to know, what is this kid thinking? He seems to be pushing the door in a way that his face is down and he's just pushing on it. He hasn't even thought to look at the door. He hasn't thought to look at the pull sign or he doesn't really seem to be thinking at all, I would say. But he's got to be thinking something as he just continues to push with all of his weight on this door that so obviously says pull right on it. This comic is made even better by the fact that in the bottom right-hand corner it says Midvale School for the Gifted. So this is a child who he's going to a gifted school. He has a gifted mind. He is a young and very intelligent mind, and he is pushing on a door that extremely clearly, could not any more clearly, says the word pull on it. So it is with that I would like to get into our text for today, which is going to be over in Luke chapter 13. And I'm going to start reading in verse 22. Then Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?" So as Jesus is moving along, this interesting question is asked. And I think when we look at this question, it could be read one of two ways. We could read this question as, well, am I in this small group of people who's going to be saved? Well, there's not going to be that many, but I know I'm one of them. Am I in the elite group? Am I in the cool kids club, as some might say? Or there could be maybe this hopelessness about it. Well, are only few going to be saved? Is there any point in trying, Lord? Do I even have a chance at this? But Jesus' answer, I think, is maybe even more important at this point. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Once the owner of the house gets up and closes the door, you will stand outside, knocking and pleading, "Sir, open the door for us." But he will answer, "I don't know you or where you come from." So this is a door that you're supposed to be going towards. And many of us would think, if you were to put on a list of difficult things in your life, how high on that list would walking through a door rank? Probably rank pretty low. It's not a difficult task to do. You see a door, and you're like, well, I'm just going to walk through it. But here in verse 24, it's saying, make every effort to strive through this door. And the reason we have to strive through this door is it's a narrow door. It's very narrow. Many people are going to attempt to be able to enter, but they're not going to make it. The door is going to be closed at some point, and they're going to plead and say, "Hey, open this door. This door is not. This door is locked. Can you open it up for us?" And he's going to say, "I don't know you or where you come from." It's very interesting that this person behind the door, who we know to be God letting us into heaven, into this door, he says, "I don't know you or where you come from." This is the same God who we read back in Psalms 139, knit us in the womb, knows our very essence, knows our form, knows us so well. But there's going to be someone who gets to this door and he's going to say, "I don't know you or where you come from." But they're going to plead their case. "Now, you don't know me just yet, but wait, hear my side of the story." Verse 26, "Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will reply, 'I don't know you or where you come from. Away from me, all of you evildoers.'" So they're saying, "Jesus, you know me. We ate together. I heard you preaching. I heard you speaking. I was there at the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus. Doesn't that give me some kind of credit? Doesn't that give me anything at all? And not only now, in verse 27, is he saying, I don't know you, but he's saying, get away from me, evildoers. So his message has gotten even stronger towards these people. Verse 28, who is going to be there? There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all of the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their place at the feast in the kingdom of God. Indeed, there will be those who are last. Those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. Isaac, Abraham, Jacob, all of these people are going to be beyond this doorway. But the people who knew Jesus, I heard you preaching in the streets. I ate with you, Jesus. You're not going to let me in? No, those people are going to be in the place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. But the prophets, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the people who suffered in this earth are going to be beyond that doorway. And it's very interesting when I read verse 29 that it says people are going to come from the east, the west, the north, and the south. I thought not many people were going to be able to get into this doorway. And now it seems like he's saying they're going to come from all over. They're going to take their place to feast in the kingdom of God. So I think now it's more important to look back at the question that we see posed in verse 23. Lord, are there only few who are going to be saved? As I mentioned, there's two possible ways to read it. But I think based on Jesus' response, I think that's how we have to characterize why the question was asked. And based on his response, it seems like this question might have been asked from this kind of elitist point of view. I know I'm going to be saved, but are there going to be a lot of other people who are going to be saved as well, or am I just going to be in the select few? Is it just going to be me and a couple of my close friends, Jesus? And that's why he answers him in this way. And we might also think about who would have been following Jesus. This person was following Jesus, listening to his teaching. It's very likely that this person was a Jew as well. So this person, as a Jew, would have been a child of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His pedigree, his family history would have been super important to him. Would have been very important. And yet he's going to be separated from those people, from this response that we see from Jesus. The people are going to come from east, west, north, south. They're going to come from everywhere. It's possible these people might even be other people other than Jews. As we read later, we know that the Jews and the Gentiles are going to be included in this promise. And so that's why I pose this question that you read up here, discipleship or doorknob, which I realize might be kind of strange if you just read that in an isolated sense. Like, I don't understand any kind of connection between that. That doesn't make any sense to me. But it seemed there was an inclination, a way of thinking for these people that led them to think about Jesus as someone whom they could be a disciple of. They could follow Jesus and seek discipleship from him. But some people, they wanted to look at Jesus. They wanted to look at the door. Jesus was the doorknob to get into the door. What I mean by that is, as we read in verse 26, we ate and drank with you, and you taught in our streets. There's some people who wanted to use Jesus as this kind of Facebook connection to get into heaven. Jesus, we're friends on Facebook. Come on, you gotta let me in. You gotta let me in, man. You taught in our streets. I saw you give that super important sermon that's recorded in the Bible. Come on, Jesus. We can see why somebody who was of this Jewish descent would want to claim that kind of. They wanted to claim that they could be welcomed into the kingdom. They were part of this people of God. They were part of the chosen people. They were the important ones. They were people who had studied their word. They had lived their lives for God. They had tried really hard. They had tried doing what the Jewish law told them to do. And that was very important culturally. But he still says, go away, evildoers. I wonder today ways in which we do this as well. Jesus, come on. I'm a minister, Jesus. You got to let me in. I go to Concord Church of Christ. Have you seen that place? It's so awesome. And the people there are so great. And I heard Adam give that one sermon that was super compelling. And let me tell you, it really made me think. I really thought about it. And I was there when we sent that mission team off to, you could fill in the blanks wherever. It's really easy for us to sometimes claim salvation by proximity. Jesus, I know that person who's really good, and I'm a friend of that person who's really good, so you got to let me in. Sometimes we feel like if we're just close enough to the church, sometimes that's good enough. And I don't think we always think this way consciously, because if we were consciously think this way, we would change. But I think subconsciously, sometimes we start to wonder in the back of our minds, what is enough to get in? How can I twist the doorknob just enough that I can kind of shove into it and it'll open up for me? What Jesus is saying to someone here who asked that same question is, that's not how it works. Because at some point the door is going to be closed. And if the door is closed, you're not going to get in. And that's why I want to mention this right now around the Lord's Supper. Because the Lord's Supper is a good time for us to do three things that help us really choose discipleship over this trying to twist God into letting us in. We need to focus on Jesus' sacrifice and not on our own worthiness. You see, this man's worthiness is what made him ask this question. I know I'm going to get in, but are there other people who are going to get in, or am I going to be in the select few? Sometimes we focus too much on the reasons why we think God should let us in than what God does for us that actually gets us past that door. We need to do what we're told and not just know a lot about Jesus. And I use the word know in parentheses because sometimes I think we equate knowing a lot about Jesus to knowing who Jesus is. It's got to be more than that. I could have the entire Bible memorized front to back, but if I don't live out what those words say, it doesn't mean any difference. I've just memorized a lot of words. And lastly, we need to strive to enter through the narrow door, not twist God into letting us in. For serving on the table, please come forward. It's become popular today for us to twist things and to say, well, I know I may not have done A, B, or C, but you got to let me in because of this. I got to claim this kind of importance to let me in. God, you got to let me in. But the only way we can get there is if we strive and if we focus and if we do what God has told us to do.